I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Hello and welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm Debbie Dashinger and I'm excited to bring you yet another episode. I'm not one of those who says episode 125 because after being on air for 11 and a half years, I don't even know what number I'd be up to. I've done this at least weekly for that long. And the reason why I stick with it is because I get to have what I consider to be a master level conversation about transformation. I have to say, so here's the dealio. I'm pretty new out in the dating world. I'm single. It's been a year and a half since a breakup of a long-term relationship. And it's very interesting when they ask you questions about yourself because my number one value that I am not apologetic to say out loud is spirituality. It's inner growth. I could do it all the time and be happy, like my soul would be happy. And even though I really dislike pain, and I can be a little controlling, I will say that at the same time, my spirit is very much bring it, because I so know on the other side of that rainbow, whatever that arc is, that journey I have to take in the inside, I'm so different when I come out the other side. Like, life is so much better. Who I attract is better. My circumstances is better. I just know, like, my DNA has shifted. So I'm willing. That's all I can say is I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But hey, you know, spirituality and healing and transformation, it can also be pretty awesome, right? So we're going to have one of those conversations today because a little bit later I'm bringing on, and I can't believe I've never had her on the show because I've circled around this woman for years. I've known about her. Dr. Sue Mortar is here, and she's globally taught energy codes coursework. She teaches individuals how to clear subconscious memory blockages. She's the co-creator of the bioenergetic synchronization technique and founder of the Mortar Institute for Bioenergetics, which teaches individuals self-healing techniques and uses quantum science for a new approach to life. She is releasing her new book soon. It's called The Energy Codes, the 7-step system to awaken your spirit, heal your body, and live your best life. Totally in. Like, I could feel that title really well. And I want to thank the people who sponsor this show. I love when somebody knows about your show and comes to you. And this is a big platform. So if you have products and you're an entrepreneur and you want to create, you want to market, you want to sell, you want to deliver your own online courses and make them beautiful and very easy, totally. Thinkific. That's the place to go. I found them because I was searching for a place to put my stuff, and I'm so thrilled. They've got the online tools so you can turn your expertise into passive income, have a sustainable business. Go to thnk.cc/deb, thnk.cc/deb. You're going to find free platform for you, discounted prices for the Dare to Dream podcast only. So thnk.cc/deb, right? And you're going to get lifetime support there. And as far as who I am out in the world, I love that I've got people who have been part of the show forever. You're part of the family, the Dare to Dream family. And if you're brand new and finding us right now, I'm a media visibility strategist. And what I do out in the world is help you create a fierce and unique presence. That's coaching to write your book, taking your book to a guaranteed international bestseller, as well as getting you scheduled on media interviews. I'm a certified coach, and I help clients stop living in the shadows so they can stand out and fulfill their purpose. Because it's our time, right? It is our time as light workers. So I want to share that last night, one of the things I also do out in the world is I have the great and humble honor to do red carpet interviews at various events. And I love what I do. I really got more in touch last night and why I love what I do. But there's something about it being an incredibly uncomfortable situation. I don't care how much you've been interviewed. I have people who are sports commentators and so forth and big stars who stand in front of me. But in that moment, there's still a pressure to give a soundbite. The camera's on you. How do I look? How am I going to come off? And I love pre-connecting with somebody to totally take the energy way down, to create a space of love and to really synergize with them so I can, well, I want to say I can pull something amazing out of them, but that's really not what's going on. It's just that there's an incredible connection and a space for them to offer whatever is going on for them. And of course, it's up to the videographer to create magic out of that. So last night I had the great honor, oh my gosh, of all the people I interviewed, I have to say the two highlights were Lynn Shackelford. You might know his name if you're into sports. He was a basketball player at UCLA. He's only one of 175 players ever to be coached by John Wooden, who I'm obsessed with. And it's amazing when you think of how huge John Wooden is, how famous, and yet 175 players only. And Lynn went on to become a pro basketball player, sports commentator, and more. He was a joy. Boy, did we laugh on the red carpet together. And the other person, oh, he didn't know who I was interviewing. That's kind of fun, too. He kept saying after our interview, has anybody ever said you look just like Gina Gershon? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I've gotten that a ton over the years, but she's not so prominent as an actress out in the public eye, so I haven't heard it in a while. And he said, well, I know you look exactly like her because she's a good friend of mine, and you, like the eyes and the face. And he walked away, and I said to the videographer, what is that? And he said, oh, that was Michael Burns. He's the executive chairman at Lionsgate. All right, I'll take it. Of course he's good friends with Gina Gershon. So it's just so beautiful, the people I get to meet. And again, I love it. It's work. It's on my feet. It was cold last night. We were outside a little. But it's all so worth it to go to these beautiful events and support these amazing people. So grateful. That's my gratitude for the day, the work I get to do. And so we're going to bring on Dr. Sue, and she's going to be talking about the work she does out into the world, and I'm very excited to have her here today. Dr. Sue Morter, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's so amazing to have you.
Thank you, Debbie. It is so fabulous to be here. It's fun and wonderful to hear you speaking about the things that you're doing and how you love the work that you do. I certainly love the work that I do, too, so I'm sure that we'll have a fabulous conversation today about all things transformational. Yes?
Yes. Thank you for saying that. It's such a good segue because that's my first curiosity. For people who don't yet know or know you and want to know more about what you're doing and being today, what is the work, Sue, that you're doing out into the world?
Well, certainly. You know, the world of transformation has been focused on enlightenment. Basically, awakening to a higher level of consciousness, awakening to a better way of living, understanding the purpose of life or our purpose in life or how we can manifest more efficiently and effectively things with heart and meaning, creating lives that truly make a difference for us. And all of that is part of my conversation as well. And what I know is that enlightenment is not enough. That ultimately we have to learn about embodiment. We have to become that which we have been seeking. And so it's kind of a quantum flip, a shift into a new perspective where we're no longer listening to spirit or talking to spirit, but we're really taking the seat as spirit. Because quantum science, I'm kind of working at an intersection between quantum science and spirituality because they really can't be separated. And you know, the world of spirituality has been talking about the fact that we are eternal beings and that there is only one life and that there is only one of us here and that it is all goodness and God and so forth. And then quantum science is now recognizing some of the same principles that ultimately we are in the seat of creator as quantum science is depicting for us, that what we think and feel and imagine actually manifests as the physical world around us if we become consistent and unwavering about that. And so my focus on embodiment comes from an awakening experience that I had about 18 years ago, and then I spent the next decade trying to figure out how to recreate those experiences that were happening on their own. I couldn't make them happen, and I wanted to. I couldn't just sit down and drop into meditation again and access these transcendent, multidimensional places just at will. And I wanted to. So I turned my life into a living laboratory for the next 10 years, really working with my patients and clients, all in collaboration, trying to experiment and work with the things that allowed for the recreation of this ability to open the mind to a greater space. And what came from that is a codified series of sequential things that we can do to learn to live in the body differently than we have been trained in our lives. We tend to live in our heads, and it's about learning how to come down into the body and allow the body to help facilitate the process of our being here, and allow the body to filter and to ground us in ways that we've just never been aware of. So my work is about teaching people how to get into their body instead of living in their heads. And in doing so, they realize they are the spirit they have been seeking, and their job is to come here and be fully in the body, fully human, fully active here in the physical world. And as we do that, everything changes. So we start speaking from the place that we've been seeking. Does that work?
So many questions come up with that. That's actually amazing. So first, just for clarification, you mentioned the word patient, and your doctor, Sue Mortar, you are a doctor of what?
Yes, so I was trained in physical medicine and chiropractic, and I'm specializing in energy medicine, in that the electromagnetic energy which formulates thoughts has an influence on our nervous system, which will ultimately determine if we are in a fight or flight mode or if we are in a relaxed, healing, filtering, cleansing mode on a physical level. So I've had a practice for 30 years working with patients in a fashion that is hands-on, teaching them how to train their minds to serve their own health in a more effective way. So it's kind of an application. It's kind of like what you might picture acupressure to be like, only we're bringing consciousness into the mix at the same time, and identifying the types of limiting beliefs and the types of unresolved emotional residue that is residing in the body and creating illness in our lives. So it's quite comprehensive.
I don't know about anyone else listening. I can only imagine. But when I hear that, honestly, I want to end this interview. I want to get in my car and drive where you are and have. How does it get better than that? That sounds like incredible when you're talking about the points, which I've certainly experienced, but instead of, you know, I've even had energy running through them, but you're talking about consciousness, awareness, presence coming through you. I am assuming you've experienced that. What is that like?
It is transcendent. It is not of this world, and it is what we're all made of, and it is our opportunity while we're here on this planet to learn how to access that part of us, which is the rest of who we are, and bring it here fully. In fact, that's what this whole life is about. You know, the type of process that I'm speaking about, the embodiment of it all, is a form of healthcare that is the only healthcare that I've ever had. I've never gone to the doctor and taken an antibiotic for an ailment. I've only ever utilized these types of principles that I'm sharing and that I'm writing about in the book and that I'll be releasing in the spring. And what happened 20 years ago was I had a transcendent experience where I was awakened at what we reference as the Atman or the Godhead or the higher self, the soulful self. It is an awareness. It's pure awareness, but we're not in this physical body. And I could see the earth beneath me about the size of a marble, and I was embedded into it up to what would have been my knees, but I wasn't in a physical body. I was just a ray of light. Now, as, you know, wild as that sounds and as spaciousness as that is of a conversation, it is the truth of who we are. And as we begin to accept that as our reality, we become available to having that experience. And it was time in my life to awaken at that level. And I've spent my life since then dedicated to coming into the body with that reality, with that awareness, and having this transformative effect on my own life has been amazing. I had a scoliosis in my body that healed as I came into my body with this higher level of consciousness. I used to have migraine headaches that were keeping me from being able to go to work a couple of days a week, and that went on for a few months until I realized that I just wasn't embodying what I was able to teach and share with other people. And so as I learned to do that, the migraine headaches went away, and you know, the physical ailments that I'm able to heal as they are occurring in my life, if I injure myself or what, a broken arm, that I didn't have to go through traditional medical practices with casting it, etc., in order to get the situation to heal. It's just a matter of learning how to move the energy through our body in a way that allows the self-healer within to become active and to become what is generating the life experience, rather than us sitting dormantly hoping for some outside force to bring peace of mind, to bring health and wholeness into our lives, or to bring some kind of enlightenment or empowerment to us. It's really, I have recognized full on that it is from the inside out that these things occur. It's from above, down, in here, and outwardly expressing, that we are designed to learn how to manage ourselves as this energy being. So it has translated into this intersection between quantum science and deep spiritual meditative concepts, and a huge influence with yoga as well, that all of this comes together and creates this work that I call the energy codes.
With the quantum science and mixture of spirituality that you offer, I'm very curious. We have a lot of disasters right now. I was at the gym this morning and I saw on the TV 7.0 magnitude earthquake in Alaska. And they're also now saying that that may create a tsunami. And as we all know, those of us sitting back and really observing, it's been one after another. My radio station just burned down in the recent fires. So I've had to make, you know, some new changes there. Energetically, spiritually, even molecule-wise, matrix-wise, do you have a sense of what's happening?
Yeah. We are going through a tremendous birthing process. Whether these are natural disasters or the man-made disasters that we're creating in our culture and in a variety of different aspects of our life experience, there is a birthing going on, that we are at the point of, we are truly right at big contraction and breakthrough phases of this birthing. And it is a level of energetic, a level of consciousness that is truly unfolding in a most magnanimous fashion. And so when we're seeing these shifts energetically and the responses that we have to these natural disasters, these man-made disasters that we reference them as disasters, but the, you know, the political and the economical issues and these kinds of things that we are dealing with, I feel that all of them are contributing to an invitation for us to come deep within and to live as the unwavering self that is the absolute, and not be caught up in the relative circumstances of the outer world. When those circumstances are so dramatic, it becomes almost impossible to miss the message that we have to find a stable place within to come from. If we're going to walk the face of this earth under these kinds of circumstances and not wobble ourselves, not get into an emotional upheaval or a mental breakdown because of the circumstances that are occurring in the outer world, you know, the study of consciousness teaches us, and now the study of of quantum science is teaching us that we are pure awareness and we are creating our life experience. And so when we are, as a collective, ready for a birthing, what happens is energetically we are giving rise to these energetic shifts ourselves, all for practice ground, as I see it, for us to learn how to be the unwavering absolute when our circumstances are in a great shakedown. Can we stay clear and grounded and embodied in the presence of and in the orchestration of love and compassion and clarity and certainty? And whatever it takes for us to be able to do that is being served during these times, all of which I find that if people learn how to come into the core of their body, they stabilize their minds. They stabilize their fears. They stabilize the tendency to start doubting and to start being in a sense of conflict, because the body helps to stabilize our presence. It helps to stabilize our mind. It's kind of like when we land here, we kind of splat. We kind of don't know. We lose it. Our mind goes one way, our bodies go another, our breath goes another way, and we're just trying to operate in life from this dispersed perspective. And we attach ourselves to the mind, and we write stories to try to stabilize ourselves, to try to figure out what's going on in life, and to anchor ourselves to something. So we anchor ourselves to our stories or to our external circumstances. Like, as long as I have this relationship, I feel solid. As long as I have this job, I feel solid. As long as I have, you know, this family tradition or whatever it may be, I feel anchored and grounded and solid. And I think that the true answer for us ultimately is to be solid regardless of our circumstances.
Wow.
So when a relationship goes away or when a job goes away or when things are shifting in such a dramatic fashion, we are here still in our unwavering presence, knowing the truth of who we are. So my work is about gathering ourselves back again from the splat, where we bring the body and the mind and the breath back together again, so that we have a chance to anchor ourselves as this stabilizing presence, regardless of the external circumstances, regardless of our stories having to change in an unexpected fashion. So that's a long answer to your question, but trying to just kind of roll out a perspective that if we can just grab a hold of that, everything can change.
Wow, that's so powerful. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. I want to talk also about the body and the truth of who we are. This is very exciting conversation. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
If you're listening, watching Dare to Dream podcast and video, thank you for joining us. Go to DebbieDashinger.com and get my free gift to you. Receive the information, how to take you, your being, your business, your book on free publicity right now. So get publicity, how to become the go-to expert and be interviewed on media now. It's Debbie Dashinger, DebbieDashinger.com. And if you are just tuning in and watching or listening, after we started, I'm Debbie Dashinger, and welcome. This is Dare to Dream. And I've got Dr. Sue Morter here. You can find her at her name, so easy, Dr. Sue Morter, MORTER.com. And so, okay, I want to start with the body. And in the first segment, you were talking, Dr. Sue, about the importance of being in the body and the intelligence the body has and how it actually can help us heal and become whole. I have a point of view. I think that probably the people who have the most difficulty being fully in one's body are women. And my contention is that we are brought up to be so self-aware of ourselves and our body and good and bad and right and wrong and do we compare, that we get to the point that we're actually flipping out, not fully present, because we're so busy judging what it is that we're carrying around, this human suit. I'd love you to weigh in on that. Do you feel like there's truth in there? And if so, what is that wound that we've got?
Absolutely. So women are in general trained to be caretaking, to be at the very best, they're just trained to be caretaking. And that caretaking is usually about their partner or their children or their, or even into their workplace, always nurturing and gathering and collecting and holding. That's kind of the feminine principle is what it does. And so when someone is born into the feminine principle, our cultures tend to accentuate that and exaggerate it, which has resulted in us always looking to how we can serve, how we can make a difference, how we can nurture something. And so it's always keeping us in this alerted state of other. How do I serve other? How do I bring other? How do I gather that from out there in here and take care of it? And what it doesn't do is cultivate the same kinds of circuitry in our nervous systems or our orientation of our consciousness to be on the self. To be on the self is what it takes to awaken. And so, interestingly, historically, thousands of years ago, many of the ancient yogis and sages were men because they were able to be on the self and not have to be gathering and nurturing and taking care, etc. So they were able to spend their time on the self while the women of the tribe were taking care of everything. And so, historically, it has had that kind of connotation as well. And interestingly, the masculine energy is one of assertion and elevation and piercing into other realms or piercing into the wilderness or whatever it might have been. So there's this asserting energy and this cultivating energy. And women that are, you know, when we are born into the feminine, it is naturally assumed that we're going to take on that role. And I feel that it's time for women in our world to take on a more neutral role, to be both and, to be asserting ourselves and bringing our wisdom forward. In fact, I feel that that is what our culture is missing, is the feminine wisdom having a voice, having an assertion, not an aggression, but an assertion out into the world to reveal, to let it be known what you know, to let it be known what your grandmother couldn't let be known because it wasn't her role in society to say anything. It was just to sit there and be by the side of something else that was happening. And our culture is spinning out in many ways right now because we're not able to find our wisdom self. We're in our heads trying to figure out and strategize and orchestrate from the mental body the types of things that look smart to do. But the influence of the mental body is great in that it's also quite afraid that it's going to miss out on something. And so it's always choosing and choosing and choosing out of fear if it's not anchored to the body. So as we, as women in particular, anchor our own consciousness in the body and allow that deep wisdom to rise up from below our navel, it's deep in our core, and in that deep, intimate aspect of our being, as we start to breathe there, breathe in the belly, it starts to animate these energies and allow them to come up through our solar plexus and our heart space and come out of our throat chakras and speak out into the world. And what happens is we will bring a more comprehensive and a more loving presence forward. That leadership can be loving and that decisions can be comprehensive. They don't have to be fear-based or strategizing all the time. That if we are present with what is actually true for us, we heal not only ourselves, but we begin to offer that to other people by demonstration, by modeling it for our families, for our children, for our relationships out in the outer world. It's our destiny to do this, and that is what is rising at this time. What is missing is this feminine quality in all kinds of leadership positions, but we can't try to do it like it's been done before because we'll miss the great gift that we have to bring up and out, to bring forward. So the healing that happens when we come into the body, instead of just living in our heads, is that the body is made of different vibrational frequencies. Low in the pelvis and the hips is a different energy than just below your navel. And that's a different energy than just above the navel. And it's a different energy than right here in the heart space. And it's a different energy again, right here at the throat space, and a different energy yet here in the center of the brain and so forth. You know, what comes to mind is the chakra system. But what I want you to realize is that the chakra system is not just about energy centers spinning in your body that are activating all kinds of different aspects of your chemistry, which it is, or the flow of just the chakra system. It's not an isolated entity. It is also depicting levels of consciousness. So if we come into our body with the energy that we are, our bodies help to activate and filter different levels of consciousness and allow those various additional layers of consciousness to contribute to the kinds of thoughts that we generate, the kinds of projects that come up out of us. They become more grounded and holistic and true if we use our body to help filter the energy that we are. Think of it this way. If we're just in our heads, our minds are operating like this really rapid moving, like a ceiling fan that's spinning so fast, you would never stick your finger through it, okay? And the truth of us is that we are this beautiful essence, this essential spirit being that operates like this. And here's our mind doing this, and the two don't get along so well. So we have to learn how to slow the mind down so that it can get in tandem with this essential self, so that we can experience ourselves beyond our beliefs, beyond our current idea of who we are. And it's sitting there waiting for us. It's ready for us to access. It's been waiting for thousands of years, but we're still warming up to the idea that that could be true for me too, that it was just for those sages thousands of years ago, or that Christed being, or that Buddhic being thousands of years ago, when actually we're being begged to access that for ourselves. It's time. Like you're saying, Debbie, it's our time. It's our time to do this. You bet. Light workers are going to do more effective work if they come into their body, because the mind alone.
Because I'm going nuts here. So this is so beautiful, evocative, and I'm so feeling you. I mean, this whole energy you're talking about and quieting this white noise down. It's not too white, actually. It's very distracting. What is the process? How men, women, whomever, how do we come in so that we can access the fullness, the healing, the being that we actually came here to be, and fully step in to be the Me Too healers, light workers we're here to be?
Beautiful. Fabulous. Thank you for the question. You know, this takes us to where the rubber meets the road. How do we take this out of a conceptual level and embody it? So there are many, many different practices to teach, many, many different things that someone can learn about this that I teach. But let's just take some simple basic begin here. And when all else fails, here's your triage. Here's your go-to. One thing, right now, just throw your energy off of you onto the computer or onto something else in your room, or think of someone that takes your energy away. Or the minute you think of them, you get a charge in your body, and throw your energy off of your core. And then just notice how it feels in your body when you do that. Okay, doesn't feel so good. Now, call all of your energy back home. Just call it back in, quicken it back in your own core. Just come on to subject instead of object. So come on to you, come on to the self. Just come home to yourself and notice how that feels in the body. Now, throw your energy off of you again. Just throw it off, disperse it. Just physically throw it over there. And now, just notice how it feels in the body. And now, just call it back home. Just claim it back for yourself. Just come home to it for yourself again and notice how it feels in the body. It's going to feel different every single time that you do that. And if you practice doing that 100 times a day, you're going to develop different neurocircuitry to begin to perceive a sense of who you are in here, instead of having to figure out who you are via your story and who's delivering what and validating you or confirming you, etc. You don't need that confirmation when you have this. Now I'm going to accentuate that tenfold, 1,000-fold for us, okay? So come on to subject, and now there's going to be some muscles in the basic of the pelvic bowl, the base of the pelvic bowl. It's kind of like a Kegel exercise. Women, if you're familiar with that, gentlemen listening, you're about to learn what a Kegel exercise is like, okay? So you're going to, it's as if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream in an instant. You squeeze all those muscles to stop the stream, those muscles contracting and then kind of lift them up toward your heart space. Now, this is a process in ancient Eastern languaging. It would be called mula bandha, which means root lock, which means we're anchoring, we're getting all this energy out from living up in here, and we're going to anchor it down in the body. We're going to anchor it and lock it at the root. So contract those muscles in the base of the pelvic bowl, lift them up towards your heart, and take a deep breath in, keeping it contracted. Don't let it relax, just keep it contracted. Take a big breath in your belly. So it's kind of an interesting thing. You're contracting these muscles and you're inhaling into the belly, and it's creating a little resistance right there. And that's cool. That's what we want, because we learn in this world through resistance. If we can learn who we are through resistance inside the body, then we don't have to create resistance outside the body in order to figure out who we are, in order to have a sense of self. So contract this mula bandha. Now we're going to add to that and amplify its impact, okay? So now you're going to just relax mula bandha for a moment, and now you're going to hug your heart just on the inside. Just squeeze your heart. Just make it up as if you're pulling the shoulder blades together, and you're compressing your chest from the front to the back, okay? And as if you were pulling your pectoralis muscles down, and just inside from there, just squeeze your heart. Just make it up. You got to make it up. The use of the imagination, that's all part of the dare to dream principle. You're going to have to use your imagination if you're dreaming. All right, so we're going to make it up with our imagination to squeeze the heart space. Now, roll your eyes up for just a moment. Just roll your eyes up and feel the tension behind your eyes. You feel the tension behind your eyes. Imagine that there is a plumb line dropping straight down from that tension behind your eyes, down through your throat to this heart where you're squeezing, and then down into the pelvis where you're contracting mula bandha. Just contract and relax this pelvic bowl muscles, this mula bandha, this root lock. Now relax your eyes, but remember where that line right down through the center of your body is. Okay? Now we're just going to add one more thing onto that that's going to change your world if you will do this on a regular basis. Right? I've worked with tens of thousands of people over the last 30 years, and they are changing their lives by doing such simple practices as this, okay? So we have this plumb line established in the core of the body, behind the eyes, through the throat, to the heart, to mula bandha. Now take a breath from above your head, just about 2 feet above your head. Take a breath, inhale to your heart. Just make it up. Inhale a line of energy down to your heart. And then exhale from your heart down through your belly, down through mula bandha, and into the earth beneath where you sit. And then take a deep breath in up from the earth where you sit, underneath where you're sitting, up in through mula bandha, up to your heart space. And then exhale up through the throat, through the center of the brain, which is right behind the eyes where you felt that tension, and exhale right out the top of your head. Now what we're doing is teaching you how to find the central channel of the body. When you find that central channel, it's going to feel peaceful. At first, you're going to have to work with practicing how to orient yourself in this way, but when you access that, it's going to calm you down. It's going to allow you to be more ingenious and creative. It's going to allow you to bring forth the wisdom that is along this column all the way up through the body. The various aspects of your consciousness are being accessed collectively when we breathe up and down through this central channel. Central channel breathing is an ancient practice. It's called the Shashumna for those of you that are yogis that might be familiar with this, and it's activating the various levels of your consciousness. So just as an example, let's say you're driving down the road and you're upset about what's going on at work and you find yourself just thinking about it, whatever. If you will, mula bandha, and squeeze your heart, and just take a breath up and down through this central channel, just one round of breath like that, you will find that you can't get a good upset going the way you had it just a minute ago. You won't be able to remain as upset about whatever it is, because you'll be adding different energies into the mix for your thought processes, and it will ground you and anchor you and pass you through your power and your loving capacity and your ability to manifest differently in the life, and everything begins to change. So it's a tiny tip of the iceberg, but it's a definite place to start with learning how to come into the body instead of just living in our heads.
Beautiful. Okay. How's that? Thank you. I am totally shifted right now, surprisingly so. I love people to post who are watching this in a replay, what your experience is as you went through it. And I'm curious, because of how I feel right now, incredibly peaceful and present and a lot of ease here, a lot of not needing to do anything, frankly.
Right.
So I'll say very present with you, I promise. Is this something people can do or should do instead of meditation, or is this an and?
It's an and, but when someone is learning the coursework that I teach, there's another step that we add on to this, which is there are many more steps to it. But what we're ultimately doing is utilizing this to build the circuitry to stay in the body. For instance, if you're doing this simple practice over and over and over, and then you sit down one day just to meditate, just do it a couple of breaths like this to center yourself in this central channel before you meditate. Then you can close your eyes, meditate. You'll have a different meditation because of it. And then as you're coming out of meditation, do the central channel breathing with these anchor points again, and it will allow you to embody what you experienced during meditation so you can take it in a sustainable way with you out into your day instead of just trying to survive life and then meditating for a reprieve and then going back out there trying to survive life. What I'm trying to do is create a walking meditation for people so that they're always in the state of presence like this. And you can do this all the time. It will anchor you and bring you more present. It doesn't space you out. It anchors you and allows you to be super here. So people's senses become super engaged rather than disengaged, as we do in meditation. Both are very important. Embodiment of what we glean during meditation is the point behind this, so that we can walk around as that meditating yogi. And if someone finds it difficult to meditate, this has been extraordinarily easy or beneficial for making meditation easier for a person, because it slows down that runaway mind and gets it focusing on the body and the breath. And anytime you have mind and body and breath functioning together, you're in a better situation to manage anything and to become creative and resourceful. So when there is an upset, here's one more little gift. Can I just offer this up? Do we have time?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So one more little gift here is that it's a huge gift. When something happens that is upsetting in your life, rather than going into story, getting into your head and trying to figure out why this is happening and why they do that and what is it about me that is always attracting people to me that do these kinds of things and all that mental stuff that we do, rather than doing that, we've certainly done plenty of that. Let's try something new. So we've been practicing this central channel and we're anchoring in the body in this way, and we're coming to know what it feels like to be living in the body. And now somebody comes along and says something that's upsetting to us, or something happens and they decline something we wanted or whatever. Instead of getting in your head and figuring out a story about it, here's an invitation. Take your attention to the body and see where in the body you have seized up. Is it a lump in your throat? Is it tightness in your chest? Is it a knot in your stomach? Something specific is happening. And it's happening where it's happening because you don't have the neurocircuitry in place yet to allow you to remain streaming in this channel regardless of your external circumstances. The external circumstance occurred and it splatted you again and dispersed you out. And now you're in your head trying to figure out what to do about it. Instead of letting that happen, just the situation happens, you take your attention to the body, and you say, where am I activated? Let's say it's in your gut, a knot in your stomach. The invitation is this: squeeze it back. Let it know that the mind is on to what the body is trying to say, trying to reveal. The body is trying to get our attention in this place. So let it know that it won. It got it. It got through. So you squeeze it back and you let it know that contact has been made. Because, folks, this is what's going on. The soul, which is you, speaks to the body, and the body speaks to the mind, and the mind doesn't listen. So we have to get the mind to listen. Instead of taking something so that you don't feel that back pain, go into your back pain and squeeze it back and let it know you've figured it out. You're not supposed to operate as a splatted, separated, dispersed being. You're supposed to pull all of your resources back together again and let them work in a collaborative fashion to serve the evolution of the soul so that you can operate as a soulful being here on earth. So you squeeze it back and then you do your mula bandha and your squeezing of your heart and you're breathing up and down the central channel to this place behind the eyes, up and down that central channel. And this time you're including the area of the body that was talking to you, trying to get the mind to see what's needed next. And breathe it and include it. While you're squeezing it, include it in this central channel breath and everything is going to change for you. Because you're going to build the circuits to be able to sustain yourself in an unwavering way no matter what happens, no matter what they say or what they do or what happens at work or what happens at home, all of it becomes practice ground for you to build your own absolute presence here in this body as the soulful self that you are. So
total goosebumps when you added this piece. And I love this. I am going to start employing this because of that fast a result that I just experienced. And I'm also feeling into, for those of us who have trouble sleeping, and there's so many people because of what life is like, and we're around all this electricity and stimulation that's constant, and that my sense is that this is Dr. Sue Mortar's Ambien. That is very healthy. We don't have to hurt our body, but rather we can reconnect and quiet our minds and bodies so that sleep is refreshing and welcome. So we're going to just head into the last very quick segment. And I just, as a reminder, want to thank the sponsor, Thinkific. And if you want a short demo of their online course or membership platform for entrepreneurs, it is the online education platform for independent entrepreneurs and creators. So you can grow your business with online courses, get your very special Dare to Dream listener rate, thnk.cc/deb. Also, if you would subscribe to Dare to Dream and leave us a 5-star review. The reason is, if you're a light worker, make sure other people are tuning into this conversation so they can hear amazing wisdom givers like we've got today with Dr. Sue Mortar. And again, you can find her at drsuemortar.com. So this is our lightning round here. First of all, what is the one ritual or practice that you use daily that keeps you open to receiving the all that is, to being the connection and knowing that you are the all that is, and really being present in your life?
Beautiful. It's actually the one thing that I do constantly and consistently is the thing I just taught everyone. Mula bandha, squeeze the heart. I squeeze the throat a little, roll the eyes, find that plumb line. And I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now. I'm always working with building more and more circuitry to be able to sustain myself in this core presence. I'm also always aware that there's an entire cosmos here that's funneling down through this system, and it's my job to take care of this body so that I can radiate and emanate that cosmic intelligence, that allness, that oneness out into the world without altering it with a personality that's afraid. As I build my awareness as the soulful self, my personality becomes subservient to the soul rather than protecting and performing and doing all the things that the ego does. I call the ego the protective personality because nobody likes to have an ego, but they don't seem to mind having a protective personality. It's like, oh, and so then I call it the protective personality and we get a lot of great work done because nobody likes to have an ego. But I do want to say it's only the ego that would not want to have an ego. So just keep in mind, everybody. So that is a constant awareness that I walk with, this cosmic funnel. And it's my job to let that come through, to stay out of the way with any kind of personal agenda or personal idea that I am less than worthy of that. And anytime I have a thought like that, I take my attention to the body, I see where the charge is, I squeeze it, and I start breathing through it because the charge only exists due to a lack of circuitry. And I'm going to build circuitry for embodiment. That's it.
Damn, totally. And here's another one I just got. Like, So I love shadow work, but it's like, this is shadow work on crack. I
mean, you're right.
You don't have to go there and say, I'm pissed at them because of this. Where do I own that? Or where have I disowned that in my
life? Yeah. That's more story. Right?
You could just.
That's more of the story. Well, we don't want to heal the story with another story, with a better story. Let's get underneath the story and just work with the raw energy that we are.
Oh, so good. Okay. So
you're amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing. I love it.
You're going to be at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. So there are folks, of course, I know people travel literally from all over the world, all over the country to be in Los Angeles for it every February. It's the hugest, most off the hook event for our tribe. Tell me what you're going to be talking about, what people can expect.
Yes, I am speaking into the relationship between quantum science. I'll explain in very user-friendly terms what quantum science is about, what it's doing, what it's showing us, what it's revealing about our DNA and our ability to transform our bodies physiologically, how to heal. There will be healing components. We'll do meditations that are engaging in the experience of it. And I'm going to blend it into some ancient practices that are, that come out of the East with Eastern culture, ancient meditation practices, et cetera, as well as just blending energy medicine into it. I'm going to teach people ways that any other energy medicine technique that they are utilizing will become enhanced by utilizing the practices that I'm sharing with them. So it's not an either or, it's a both and, but I want people to be able to activate from the soulful level, from the comprehensive presence that they truly are, and infuse that energy into whatever techniques or technologies they already know, and I'll teach them some more along the way. It's going to be a wonderful celebration of spirit and science all wrapped up into one package called the human system, which is the most divine presence on earth. So I so look forward to the conference. It'll be my first time speaking there in this capacity. So I'm very happy about it. It'll be a great time.
That's amazing. So people who would like to go and like to experience more of Dr. Sue, besides on her website and all the possibilities and events there and things that she teaches, you can just go online, look this up and book your tickets and head on over there. You won't be sorry. And so I'm receiving downloads. And so I'm also really aware, and I want to put this out there, for those of us who are empaths, I'm a clairsentient and a really powerful empath, which sounds great, but it can also sometimes be a liability to be a satellite dish. And I'm also very extroverted, so it makes it very interesting to navigate. I want to say I'm really clear, like the download is, this gift we just received from Dr. Sue Mortar, for those of us who are empaths, this is going to protect you. That's the best way I can say, but I don't mean as in separation. I mean, it's going to bring you so here that there's no concern about all of that. You don't have to take care of it. You don't have to ingest it. And so play with this, right? And I know most of you out there are intuitives and empaths. So this is Dare to Dream, Dr. Sue. What are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Well, I am, you know, on a personal level, I'm launching the book in the spring, and so I'm very excited about that. My whole world has become about getting that. It's coming out with Simon & Schuster March 19th, and I'm so looking forward to that. It's certainly been a very big project. It's a revealing of my story of enlightenment and embodiment and how I codified all of it, and I get it. It's chock full of the how-tos, how to get in the body and how to build the circuitry for understanding how to live as the soulful self. So that's pretty huge. I'm also just currently opening a West Coast location for the Institute. Mortar Institute is located in the Midwest in Indiana, Indianapolis, where I had a clinic for 30 years. And, we're opening a second, location in Los Angeles. So that's very exciting. We're gathering lots of the details that are necessary to do all of that. And, what I'm most excited about, Debbie, is just coming out into the world in this way with the book release and with all the growth that is happening with the work that I'm doing. I'm so deeply inspired to serve humanity. It is the reason that I'm on the planet, and I've known that since I was a kid. But I didn't know how to acclimate and to orient and to integrate all of that until I did so through my own awakening process and the efforts of embodiment. And I want to share that with everyone else. That's what I'm super inspired about. And people like you making that possible are a great gift in my life as well. So it's been a great joy having this conversation with you.
Thank you. I so loved it as well. And I want to leave people with a little bit of a cliffhanger because it's there for me too. So if you want to know how, no matter what your life, when there are life changes and they're welcome to life, right? Got it. There are going to be trees that fall in your house. There are going to be people who die. There are going to be breakups. There are going to be job losses and everything imaginable will happen to all of us at some level or another. So change is inherent, but how to be fully stable, you want to go to drsuemorter.com and learn more about what she's offering, get her book, go see her at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. I am so grateful I got to know you better. I get it. I totally get it. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. You're awesome.
And I end today's show with this quote from physicist Dr. Amit Goswami. Consciousness is the very ground of being. The existence of God is being revealed in the nature of quantum physics. Quantum physics says every object is a possibility, so there has to be a non-material entity that chooses the actual event from the process of these possibilities. In the next weeks on Dare to Dream, I'm featuring Jerry Sargent, Anita Morjani, and Vicky Gay. These are just some of the amazing transformational conversations that are coming up. So you absolutely want to tune in to Dare to Dream every week. And you can by subscribing to this YouTube channel at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. Also go to DebbieDashinger.com for your free publicity report on how to become the go-to expert and be interviewed on media and your online platform to sell your programs and make passive income, thnk.cc/Deb. Thanks for joining me today on Dare to Dream. And remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time.